Our wives want us to go fly a kite. Richard turned to Thomas. Care to join us?
Sure.
Happy to disappear into a kite skills competition, the three men jogged over and relieved Troy and Callie of their toy. Troy returned to the bench and sat down. Callie sat beside him and draped her arm around his narrow shoulders. When Echo tried to insert himself between the two of them, they laughed and let him in. Wallace moved closer to Ginger. Hunter inched toward his mother. Everyone waited. Finally, Mimi spoke.
Boys, I made a mistake. I'm sorry. Julia is not at boarding school. I told you that because I didn't want you to worry about her. The truth is, your cousin Julia went away with a friend.
Why?
Troy asked.
Remember when you were little and I used to tell you how important it is to pick carefully? Like with apples, you shouldn't pick the ones with fingernail marks. And how it's the same with friends? You have to be careful not to pick a bad one.
Ginger interrupted.
Julia didn't pick bad friends. You're defending the boy now? This is not about the boy. Julia went away, she told her nephews, because she needed to figure herself out. Most of the time, practically all the time, people can do that right at home. I'm sure that's what all of you are going to do. But every once in a while, someone can't manage to do that at home. So they go away. She looked at Callie, who offered her an unexpected smile. Want to know the best thing to do when that happens?
The boys nodded.
Talk about it. Talk about the person. Talk about them all the time. Can we do that? Can we talk about Julia? Because I bet if Julia was here, she'd have a lot of funny stories about Grandma. Like the year you all went trick-or-treating and Julia dressed up as a movie star, and Grandma thought she was dressed up as her.
Wallace remembered that. Grandma Glory thanked her, and Julia got so mad. But she let Grandma think it, Hunter added. Even though Julia was mad, she told Grandma, "You're welcome." She wasn't even snotty when she said it.
Troy smiled, remembering.
And Grandma liked her costume so much, she gave Julia an extra Hershey bar, the big size. And Julia gave it to me.
That's not fair,
Wallace grumbled. How come Grandma always gave Julia extra stuff?
No more reminiscing. Forward march. We need to be sure...
Ginger interrupted.
We need to be sure not to confuse marching forward with forgetting.
They were throwing away paper plates, cups, and lobster carcasses when Callie announced her news.
I found Charlie yesterday.
Ginger put down the stack of cups she'd been carrying.
How could you find him?
She met Callie's eyes and spoke the words slowly.
Charlie died, Callie, a long time ago.
Callie stared back, unfazed.
I can take you to see him. Do you want to come with me?
While Ginger struggled to figure out how to answer, Mimi said,
That is crazy talk, Callie.
Ginger cut her off.
We do. The answer is yes.
She hooked her arm through Mimi's elbow.
We'll go wherever you want.
They were 20 minutes from the house when Callie pulled the car onto a grassy shoulder.
He's right through here.
Ginger turned and saw the rough-hewn gate of a cemetery. As they walked through the gate, Callie explained.
Whenever Mom visited me, she went to see Charlie, but she never let me come along. She said it would upset me to think about him. I told her I thought about him anyway, every day, but she still said no. I started looking for him the day I got back. There's more seminaries on the island than you would think.
Cemeteries, Ginger corrected her. Callie nodded.
Yesterday, I found him.
She stopped.
Here.
She squatted in front of a small footstone. Her sisters kneeled beside her. Ginger read the inscription.
Charlie Tangle, beloved son and brother. We need some rocks, Mimi said. There's got to be rocks around here. She got up and searched the grass between the plots, looking for stones to lay atop the grave. Ginger turned to Callie. I had no idea you lived here. You know that, right?
Callie nodded.
We kept it a secret, because separate the troublemakers. That's what the school said. Together, we were trouble. Separated, we were okay. It worked, she smiled. We're all right.
Mimi returned, her hands clutching rocks, which she then shared with her sisters. She kept the largest, a flat one, and put it on the top of the footstone. Ginger laid hers on top of Mimi's. Kelly crowned the pile with a third. There was one stone left in Mimi's hand, and Kelly took it and placed that one on the top of the tiny tower.
There, she said. Now it's four. All the originals.
She leaned over and let her hand hover above the pile of rocks. Mimi placed her hand on top of Callie's, and Ginger placed her hand on top of them all. Then, hands stacked, one atop the other. Muscle memory took over, and as if they were once again 13 and 10 and 6. Callie pulled her hand out from the bottom and put it on top, and Mimi did the same, and so did Ginger, until, hands moving fast and then faster, they became a muddle, impossible to tell one from the next. Someone's hand, Ginger couldn't tell whose, hit a rock and the pile tumbled. Mimi put the stones back, carefully rebuilding their tower. Just as Mimi finished, her cell phone buzzed.
At least someone in the family lives where there's good cell service.
She read her text.
Neil's thirsty. He wants to know, can we stop and pick up beer? Do you mind?
Ginger's phone buzzed, and Mimi joked.
Guess all the men are thirsty.
But Ginger's text was from an unknown number. Mimi looked over and saw the text was just a link.
Don't you hate that? Isn't cell phone spam the worst?
But Ginger couldn't be sure it was spam. She touched the link, and a video came up. Her sisters leaned in close to watch as she turned up the volume and pressed play. She saw the girl first, a girl in a long sundress. Julia. Not someone who looked like Julia, but really Julia. She saw Nick next. Nick in his Salvation Army uniform. He was sitting on a chair with a cello between his knees. Had Julia ever mentioned that Nick played the cello? They were on a stage, she saw now. Not exactly a stage, she realized. Their chairs were on a sheet they were using to mark off the area as if it were a stage. Julia was holding something. A marionette. A marionette made out of a doll. It was one of Julia's old dolls. The American Girl doll with red hair. The one they bought because Julia said it looked like her. The doll was wearing a dress, which Ginger saw was made from a Salvation Army uniform. The doll's clothes matched Nick's. Nick called out, "Can you hear me?" And the answer was a shout from a crowd, "Yes!" Then Julia spoke. "I'm dedicating this song to my grandma 'cause she taught it to me." It was hard to make out all the details on the phone screen, but Ginger could see that Julia was operating the American Girl doll marionette. The marionette, she now noticed, had a toy cello and a chair, and was moving in concert with Nick. Ginger was still thinking what a surprise it was to discover Nick was a good cello player, when she realized the melancholy sound she was hearing came not only from the cello. Her daughter was singing. Julia had a beautiful voice. There once was a boy in the North Country. He had sisters, 1, 2, 3. Love will be true, true to my love. Love will be true to you. The screen froze. Ginger waited, but that was it. The video was over. There was no more. Look! Callie pointed to the sky where a pair of birds was circling and chattering loudly.
They like Julia's song so much they're singing along.
That's not a song, Mimi said. That's a warning. There's a hawk. See? She pointed.
Maybe.
Callie turned to Ginger and took her hand.
Julia will be back.
Then she closed her eyes.
If you keep your eyes closed and you don't see the hawk, it sounds like a song. Like a happy song.
Ginger held on tight to Callie. And when she closed her eyes, she heard the joy.
We hope you have enjoyed our presentation of Sisters 1, 2, 3 by Nancy Starr. Performed by Cassandra Campbell. Performance copyright 2016 by Brilliance Audio. All rights reserved. For further information concerning this program or other Brilliance Audio titles, please call the following toll-free number, 1-800-222-3225, or visit our website at www.brillianceaudio.com. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission. Address all inquiries to Brilliance Audio, P.O. Box 887, Grand Haven, Michigan, 49417.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.